What's good, Zimbabwe? Muhlem, Twakazo Muhlem, Muriye Zimbabwe, Ligali Chona Njani Zulugandaba, Kwazwai, Muriye Zimbabwe. Welcome to The Connection, our Studio 7's very own youth program that targets tackling anything and everything youth-related. Muriye Zimbabwe, I'm coming to you from my apartment in Washington, D.C. Unfortunately, due to coronavirus, we're not able to work from the studios and we're not able to give you this program live as per usual. What that means is you are unable to call into the program as usual, unfortunately, Muriye Zimbabwe. Nonetheless, we are here on The Connection with your boy, Mike Wobe, a program brought to you by Studio 7, A Voice of America. On Tuesday, the 11th of August, 2020, Muriye Zimbabwe, Mthakazo Mohle, I'm your host, Mike Wobe. Once again, Muriye Zimbabwe, welcome to The Connection, our Studio 7's very own youth program that targets tackling anything and everything youth-related. Tonight on The Connection, we look to discuss COVID-19, coronavirus, the global pandemic responsible for taking hundreds and thousands of lives worldwide. Now, joining us is going to be Dr. Tinotin Dasimemeza, who's going to be updating us on how COVID-19 is impacting Zimbabwe as we speak. But the conversation is not just going to end there tonight on The Connection. We're also looking to touch on something else. On The Connection, we look to touch on a discussion which kickstarted 3 weeks ago, if not a month ago, here on The Connection, where we're talking about the human rights situation in Zimbabwe. Over the past 3 weeks, we've been discussing alleged human rights in the country that have sparked protests in different parts of the world. Protests here in Washington, D.C., protests in South Africa, and protests in London, including Zimbabwe itself. Hashtag Zimbabwe Lives Matter trended on social media throughout the past couple of weeks. All this sparked by young youth looking to highlight how dissatisfied they are by the current climate when we're talking about Zimbabwe's political and economic climate. Tomorrow being the International Youth Day, a day set aside by the United Nations, which targets highlighting youth empowerment worldwide, I found it important for me to bring a youth onto this program to talk about what's dissatisfying them, to talk about what's been happening with regards to recent events in Zimbabwe, to talk about the current economic and political climate. Is there anything that Zimbabwean youth can do to uplift the Southern African nation? We look to hear more. But first up, health, curatorship coronavirus. According to John Hopkins University, Muriye Zimbabwe, as we speak, over 20 million 100,000 people have contracted coronavirus worldwide, and over 737,000 people have died due to COVID-19. Over 12 million people, 300,000 have recovered. Now, according to the most recent tweets issued by the Ministry of Health, Muriye Zimbabwe, let me pull it up and show you. For those that are watching our broadcast, you'll be able to see it on the screen there. The numbers are as follows. Over 4,748 people have tested positive for COVID-19 in Zimbabwe. Over 104 dead in Zimbabwe and over 1,500 recoveries. Now, according to the latest information released by the Ministry of Health, it does not show the amount of cumulative tests that have been done in Zimbabwe. However, they do highlight the amount of PCR tests that were conducted yesterday. And as we speak to date, 2,816 PCR tests were done yesterday. But before we delve deeper into our conversation, Muriye Zimbabwe, let us head over to a clip that we have courtesy of the Ministry of Health. And now this clip that we're about to play next is of a COVID-19 survivor, Dr. Sacrifice Chivisa, who breaks down his ordeal. He tested positive for COVID-19 and he has survived. So he touches on several facets that pertain to what it's like being a COVID-19 survivor. So let's head over to Dr. Sacrifice Chivisa.
So I went through that, being suffering from a condition with no treatment and not knowing really what is going to happen. You become anxious. You start to worry about tomorrow and things like that. Like I told you, I said in the other interview, I actually wrote a will during that time and things like that. And because I was scared. And so, those feelings are okay, but they need to be managed. And what I've seen is that there are a lot of people who've got so much fear, they're actually creating COVID symptoms even if they don't have the palpitations, the shortness of breath. That's actually more almost like a panic attack that people are having. And I always say that when you see that you've come down and the shortness of breath is goes low, it's unlikely to be COVID, because with COVID, it's sustained and it continues. And one other thing that I want to say is stigma. The reason, one of the reasons why I came out being a deputy director of mental health, one of the things that I really wanted to deal with, and why I came out and said, look, I've got COVID, is to deal with the stigma. A lot of people stigmatize people that then suffer. I've seen people being called COVID center, epicenter, or something like that. I think we need to come out and we need to destigmatize and say, look, this is something that is global. It can come to you, and you don't want people to treat you nasty.
Dr. Sacrifice Chaser of the Ministry of Health, he was breaking down there his ordeal as a COVID-19 survivor. Without further ado, Maria Zimbabwe, let us head over to our medical expert, Dr. Tinotana Meza, who touches on the rise in COVID-19 cases. He touches on youth that have pre-existing conditions. If you have, for example, diabetes or asthma, any other pre-conditions, Dr. Tinotana Meza has some advice for you. So let's head over to the interview that we have with Dr. Tinotana Meza.
From our discussions from last time, it was expected that the cases were going to rise. The moment we opened up a bit of the borders, and also because of the community transmission that has been happening.
Right.
So, and the testing that is now being done, the number of cases we're expected to rise. Mm-hmm. I think it's time that we should be more vigilant, as usual, to curb this increase in the number of cases.
Mm-hmm.
So as a country, starting from the top up down, we should be really more vigilant now, so that we stop this spread and flood.
Now, I want to touch on something. People with pre-existing medical conditions. We know, for example, someone like Zororo Makamba, who was very young, died because of such a circumstance. He had pre-existing conditions, and then he contracted COVID. So I figured, let me delve into that a little more. How at risk are people with pre-existing conditions, diabetes and so forth?
So from what we've been noticing, let me start off by saying this. Having a pre-existing condition does not make you more susceptible to getting COVID.
Okay.
You have the same chance of getting COVID as anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have a pre-existing condition, especially a condition that is not being managed well, you are more likely to succumb to COVID.
Okay.
I don't know if that makes sense.
Okay.
So let's say someone has diabetes, and the diabetes is not well controlled. They are not taking their medication or the right medication.
Mm-hmm.
It means more likely to then succumb to COVID if you get it.
Mm-hmm.
So for those people with pre-existing conditions like asthma, hypertension, diabetes, and so forth, and high blood pressure, and so forth, what they should do is, first and foremost, make sure that they are getting their treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure they're getting the right treatment. Well, sometimes you might be getting treatment, but it's not actually the adequate medication that is needed to control the disease. So they should make sure they have their treatment and the disease is controlled,
mm-hmm.
such that if anything is to go the matter and they contract COVID, they'll have a higher chance of surviving the condition when their pre-existing conditions are being added well.
Does this also differ by age?
Sorry?
Does this also differ by age, or is it the same across the board?
Well, as you age more, you get more comorbidities. That's why you see the trend is that vakuru succumb to the disease, because as you age, most people tend to have more conditions as they age. So they have multiple conditions. So that's why you then see, also because of the body is now much more weaker as you age, people then succumb to COVID. But even at a young age, you can succumb to it if the pre-existing conditions are not managed well.
So what advice would you then give to young people that have pre-existing conditions that are trying not to contract COVID? Or if they do contract COVID, what would they have to do then?
Oh, okay. So first and foremost, like I was saying, if the condition has already been diagnosed, you should make sure that you're getting regular checkup from a healthcare practitioner. Make sure you are up to date with your medication that you are supposed to be taking. Make sure it's the right medication. And also, if you have self-monitoring kits at home, especially for those who are diabetic, if you have a glucometer that you have so as to monitor your sugar levels. If you're hypertensive, you should have your own BP machine so that you monitor regularly if your blood pressure is being controlled. If you're asthmatic, make sure you have your inhalers and you have your medication in place. Then another thing, if you by any chance then contract the COVID, or no, before you contract the COVID, first and foremost, prevention is better than cure.
Right.
So let's make sure that you are social distancing, you're washing your hands regularly, you're wearing a mask if you are in public spheres or spaces. So if you by any chance can contract the condition, you should make sure you should alert the healthcare practitioners. Tell them about your pre-existing conditions so that they make sure they also handle that. Mm-hmm. Then also get treatment at the designated COVID facilities if you're requiring admission. If not, if you are not sick enough to require admission, just make sure you are maintaining a healthy lifestyle. Mm-hmm. You take your multivitamins. Mm-hmm. Because treatment for COVID right now is more of supportive. It's not cure condition. So it's if you are not breathing well, we support you with oxygen. We support your immune system. So those things are what you should do so as to boost your immune system.
I am curious about one thing, though. At times you get circumstances where people do not even know that they have these pre-existing conditions. So let's say, hypothetically speaking, I'm diabetic, but I didn't even know that I was diabetic, and then I contract COVID. In such a circumstance, when they go test me for COVID, do they also check to see if I have other conditions?
So they will test for other conditions if they are suspecting them.
Okay.
So let's say you present and you get the COVID tests. So ideally, when someone presents to the hospital, they're supposed to get everything checked.
Right.
You don't treat a patient isolating the different symptoms.
Okay.
You treat it as a whole.
Okay.
So when you interact with the doctor, he asks you, he takes a history, then notes the timelines and so forth. So it's a full comprehensive history so that he takes into account everything that you might be having.
Mm-hmm.
So you then get tested if they are suspecting other things.
Mm-hmm.
During that whole process of taking history.
Okay. Now, another reason why I brought you here, Dr. Simemeza, is last week in the program, we're talking about re-educating people. And the expert that I had on the program touched on something which was very important, is that people now need to start learning how to survive with someone with COVID, because you may find yourself in a circumstance where a family member or someone has COVID. In such a circumstance, if I am living with someone with COVID, what's the best way for them to conduct themselves, and what's the best way for me to conduct myself?
Okay. So if you are living with someone with COVID, who has been confirmed to be COVID positive. Mm-hmm. First and foremost, they should undergo what is known now as self-isolation. So remember, we talked about self-quarantine.
Right.
Then we talked about self-isolation. So self-isolation is when you are confirmed positive. Mm-hmm. And then now you need to isolate from the rest of the family or wherever you are staying with.
Mm-hmm.
So this is ideally you should make sure they have a room that is everything that they need, the toilets, so that they maintain good hygiene, mm-hmm. So forth. And the rest of the people who are staying there should also get tested. Mm-hmm. So that they know their status, if they are positive or negative. If they are positive, they should follow suit and also self-isolate. But if they are negative, mm-hmm. now that they, I think that's where the question is, how does someone who's negative then stay with someone who's positive, right, and prevent themselves from getting the condition? So like we mentioned that COVID is airborne, and also it survives on contacts, mm-hmm. On surfaces and so forth. So what you should make sure is that you are disinfecting your surfaces, let's say wherever the person is staying, and also you will be given material to wear, gloves, and so forth, such that you reduce the risk of actually contracting the condition. And also wearing masks in that setting is also really crucial, such that you prevent you reduce your chances of actually getting the condition. And if you have people in that house who might have comorbid conditions, it will be ideal for them to find somewhere else to stay, such mm-hmm. that they are not interacting, especially kanamna na go anasekuru amnogara now. It will be ideal for them to just go somewhere for the time being, up until 10 to 14 days. Then the person gets a retest to see whether they are, to see that they're after that.
So throughout this time, you can't share a bathroom, you can't, how would all this stuff work?
No, you can share the places, especially if it's a small space whereby you don't have the luxury of having right. your own bathroom or ensuite. You can share everything, but what you should just make sure is that you are disinfecting the surfaces, and also you're just being vigilant to, say, social distancing and so forth.
Okay. Dr. Ngatimbo Batanyai ni Rumiro Maito Chipeta Edu, Urukure Edu. Tanga Chibatanyai Yevan Rane, Zubere Shakasiana, Anna Diabetes, Anna Asthma, Nezumo, Vanozo Batra, Kanat Vanozo Bata, Chibere Coronavirus. Mungati Kanaini Ndrimuno, Wachidiki, Anne Chibere Coronavirus, Anne Diabetes, Anna Asthma. Ndikazobata chirwere checoronavirus ndofanira kuzvibatawo sei kuti ndizvionawo ndichirarama.
Okay. Chekutanga ndinoda kuti kana uri kuziva kuti une chimwe chirwere chaunacho, unofanira kumeka sure kuti uri kuwana mushonga, uyezve uri kuutora nemazvo, uyezve uri kuona mushonga chaiwo chaiwo wauri kufanira kunge uchitora, kuita kuti chirwere chaunenge unacho chirapike. Saka izvi zvakakosha kunyanya kuti if you have a pre-existing condition, ive iri treated already, rather than iri untreated. Because paunozobata chirwere checorona, corona ino vanhu vakawanda vanozokundikana nechirwere checorona inyaya yekuti zvirwere zvimwe zvavanenge vanazvo zvinenge zvisiri kunatsotreatwa zvakanaka, uye zvinenge zviri uncontrolled. Saka ndo paunokwanisa kuzoshayika nenyaya yechirwere checorona ichi. Saka kana une zvirwere zvaunoziva kuti unazvo uri wechidiki, unofanira kumeka sure kuti you are up to date, uri kuwana mushonga wako, and you are being treated for that condition, so as to reduce the chances of you succumbing to condition yecorona.
Kokanandani singaziwe kuti ndinayo diabetes kana asthma ndikazobata chirwere checoronavirus zvinofana kuita.
Kana wanga usingazivi paunonoita paunonotestwa paunoenda kuna chiremba, chiremba vanotora nyaya yako seyesi, havangoti focus nenyaya yekorona asi vanotora nyaya yako yese voona kuti pane zvimwe here zvaungave unazvo zvisiri korona. Kana vazvibata ipapo vanobva kubetsera vokutsvita zvinhu zvese zvinenge zviripo. Havazongotsvite korona chete, vanenge vakutsvita nezvimwe zvavanenge vaonawo musi waunoonekwa nachiremba iwo.
All right, let's wrap up here the conversation, Dr. Simemeza. We've touched on the re-education part. Now, as we wrap up, I want to touch on the stigma part. We've seen a lot of officials, government employees, and so forth, actually openly coming out now saying, hey, I've tested positive for coronavirus. The idea there being that they're trying to make people understand that coronavirus is, anyone is prone to it, anyone can contract it, and contracting it doesn't mean it's anything bad to it. How important is something like this to see people of such high official cases come out and try re-educate the people and make them understand more about coronavirus?
No, I actually think it's important that people know that a lot of people are actually surviving. The greater majority of people who contracted COVID-19 are actually surviving. Actually, like 5% of those who are then succumbing to the condition. So it's important for people to know that you can get the condition, but you can still survive, and that it's not a death sentence once you get it. Most people are actually surviving. So it's important to guard against the stigma, and also it's important that people are able to tell you their status, that they are positive, such that they prevent from spreading the condition, and also you assist them in terms of their work with the condition. So it is important, I feel, that the people of importance, of social influence, and so forth are coming out and saying, you know what, we have tested positive, and this is what we are doing to prevent ourselves from succumbing to the condition.
That was our medical expert, Dr. Chinotenda Simemeza with Patrache Parinyatra Hospital. Ngudokotela la ingcwethi kwezempilakahle osebenza eParinyatra Hospital eHarare. Besithinta phela udaba lokumemetheka komkhuhlane we-coronavirus, sithinta njalo udaba lokuthi nxa umuntu elo mkhuhlane lo esingathi owe-BP, elo mkhuhlane owe-asthma, ngezinye phela other ama-symptoms achiyeneyo angabanjwa ngalo mkhuhlane we-coronavirus, how serious is it? Udr. Chinotenda Simemeza uyasho ngempela ukuthi hayi, ukuba le BP, ukuba le asthma, akusho ukuthi ngempela ukuthi umuntu is now at a higher risk of ukubanjwa ngalo mkhuhlane we-coronavirus. Cha, kodwa kusho ukuthi ungabanjwa ngalo mkhuhlane we-coronavirus, wena ule BP, wena ule asthma, hayi, now you have a big problem. So uDokotela Simemeza uyasho ngempela ukuthi umuntu kumele azame ngamandla akhe wonke ukuzivikela from umkhuhlane we-coronavirus. So ungaphuma phandle, gqokana ama-mask, gqokana ama-gloves, gezani izandla, social distancing, uqakathekele konke konke khonokho. Uhlelo T-Connection lilami uMike Hove, chirongwa T-Connection namuyineni Mike Hove, T-Connection with your boy Mike Hove. As we speak right now, we are talking coronavirus. Now, when we're talking about COVID-19, our neighbors, South Africa, is amongst the top 10 nations of places that have been hardest hit by COVID-19. Now, a lot of people still use public transport as a means of transport in South Africa, of the means of getting from point A to point B. So now, VOA correspondent Anita Powell has a report on how the transport industry is adapting to everything and what they need to do. So I decided, let's pull up this report. Let's see, ele Zimbabwe lona njengoba nathi Zimbabwe is a nation seeing as though we also have big transport issues. Day in, day out, we hear people complaining about ZUPCOs. I figured, let's pull out this report and see if there's anything that we can learn from South Africa. So let's head over to VOA correspondent Anita Powell to hear more.
The Humble Minibus Taxi is a lifeline for more than 70% of South Africa's workforce. But health experts worry this system is a breeding ground for coronavirus because of riders' close quarters and the high volume of passengers. A new South African nonprofit initiative, led by a businessman who is also the eldest son of President Cyril Ramaphosa, is trying to address this gap.
When we insisted as business and as South Africans, let's open this economy, by not dealing with the commute, we basically undid what was happening with lockdown. So if you deal with the transport sector, because COVID is a virus that moves through the transport sector, if you deal with that effectively, you could actually put in an artificial lockdown.
HIV researcher Dr. Jenny Pfeiffer-Kutsia, founder and director of the African Potential Foundation, says her team has come up with several solutions, ranging from simple to complex.
What we're looking at is a system very similar to what's been used in ambulances, and that is to adapt a UVC air filter that allows the airflow to be encouraged within the taxi using various fans within the filter, and air passes through the filter where it's then irradiated within a matter of seconds and is then transferred back out into the taxi to be circulated out within the taxi.
Her team is also considering an alarm system that alerts passengers to open the windows to allow fresh air to circulate, at sanitizing stations that passengers can use to clean their hands before boarding, and at a divider between the driver and passenger. That last intervention, says Ramaphosa's business partner Brad Fisher, is especially crucial. He says the government's efforts at sanitizing taxis only work up to a point.
But you can spray this rank to death. Unless you get into the taxi, where there's a closed environment, it's a capsule with whatever it is, whether they're 3 or 10 people's academic. That driver gets sick, and statistically, the driver's seen 2,000 people a month, he's going to get sick.
These measures, say Ramaphosa's team, could decrease the risk of infection by up to 80%. So far, STI has fitted out 5,000 school transport taxis and 1,000 commuter taxis at an estimated cost of about $340,000, which works out to about $60 per vehicle. Much of it provided by donors.
It's been quite a journey of discovery for us non-scientists to bring all these people together with one thing in mind. We need our people to get to work safely, and we need to save lives.
Pfeiffer-Kutsia says the team is also looking at how to scale the model to fit other African countries, which use similar transport systems to move millions of people each day. Anita Powell, VOA News, Johannesburg.
Correspondent Anita Powell. She was basically breaking down what's happening in South Africa, how the transport industry is adapting to coronavirus. But now let's head back to Zimbabwe. Let's hear Uwuzi. What do the people have to say about the troubles that they're facing during the national lockdown, during a time whereby Zimbabwe is fighting coronavirus? Let's head over to one of our listeners who sent us their audio via WhatsApp. You can also do the same. Text us on WhatsApp on +1 202 465 0318. Let's head over to the listeners.
Mina igama nguPaul Ndodana Ndlovu ufana wale eflaphuzi kwamahlaba ayithwayo kodwa ngokuhlala ngilana eTransberg eSouth Africa. Mina ukumemetheka komkhuhlane we-coronavirus lo ngibona ngathi umemethekiswa kakhulu yindlala ikakhulu yokuhlupheka kwabantu ngoba ma ungathiwa abantu bahlala endlini bangadinga ukudla ngibona sengathi bazobulawa indlala. Yikho nje ubona abantu bejampa amabhoda besiya kubomesini eSouth Africa bezama ukuyadinga impilo. So kunzima ukuthi ulandele ini isinqumo sikahulumende sokuthi kube le-lockdown uhlale endlini ngoba ma uhlele endlini ngokuhlani kwavele ekhaya siyazi ukuthi abantu baphila ngani ngokuziphandela. So ma ungasaphandi kuthi ukuthi abantu bakho bazobulawa indlala.
Hi, siyabonga Pho Ndlovu, umlaleli wethu. He was basically breaking down his thoughts on what's happening in Zimbabwe COVID-related. He highlights one thing. He says, in Zimbabwe, the biggest issue that the nation is facing during the national lockdown is the issue of hunger. Considering the fact that majority of the population in the country, as we speak, are part of the informal sector, which means they live on a what they call the hand-to-mouth thing. What they work and earn on the day is what they use on that day to buy dinner, to buy food. But now with a lot of people are stuck at home and unable to work, a lot of people are incapable of buying food. So that's what Apo Ndlovu, our listener, saying, Siyabonga Mnumzana Apo Ndlovu. Now let's head over to our next interview with a young gentleman. His name is Simon Magama. Simon has a program or an organization called the Pub Movement, which it was founded by Youth Online, but now is creating real impact on the ground in Zimbabwe. The Pub Movement, as we speak, is helping feed a lot of people in Zimbabwe during the national lockdown. So let's head over to Simon Magama to hear more.
The Pub Movement is actually a social movement that was born through social media with the plan of empowering the youth by giving them a platform that will help them excel in their fields or in their careers. So it's a platform that we just set up for the youth to bring their skills to that platform so that we can actually help develop those skills. We mentor those skills so that they can go out there and be responsible young adults, so that they can go out there and actually show and use their skills to better themselves and to better their communities.
As I mentioned earlier on, I was going through the Twitter page itself, and it's come to my attention that the Pub Movement itself has some COVID-related work that you're doing, whereby you help the less privileged. Could you tell us a little more about that?
No one ever saw the COVID-19 coming, Mike. You realize when it comes to the COVID-19, a lot of people, they took it as a joke. Even myself, I didn't understand what is happening until the South African government introduced lockdown measures. When the lockdown measures were introduced, that's when I started realizing that this thing is so real. You can't move people. And you come to think of people who are in the informal structure. And it was through those experiences that I had in South Africa, whereby I would drive around, the streets are empty. And then I also engage with people in Zimbabwe on Twitter and realize, you know what, people are also stranded out there in Zimbabwe, because the lockdown, it meant that our people, they're no longer going to work. It means that our people, they cannot do their normal hustles. And you look at Zimbabwe right now, I think a statistic is that almost 90% of the population, they survive on in the informal structures. I'm not sure with the figures, but they're in the informal structures. You get it? So you come to think of these lockdowns, how they affected these people. And some of the people, they lived on hand to mouth. So imagine that person who lived on hand to mouth, whereby they don't know where they'll get their meal for tomorrow. They live in present time. They've no savings. They've nothing. So I imagine how those people were going through. And through social media again, I will see people posting on Twitter looking for help. I see people posting on social media looking for help. So we started engaging with those people until we had to pledge that, you know what, why can't we start an initiative where we can start with fewer families, 20 families. It will make a difference. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we wanted to start as a movement where we become the initiators of that, of the idea. We initiate that idea, we put it into action, and then we get the whole world or the rest of the citizens to join and be part of the whole process.
Right. Now, you've mentioned one thing, is that the Pub Movement itself started off on social media, and all these initiatives that you're running are something that are triggered by something you're seeing on social media. And so how are you creating that change from something you see on social media and start on social media to something that actually creates tangible impact on the ground?
We've had the privilege of having people who are on the ground who are really committed to invest their time on our project, on our initiative. I'll give you an example of Pablo Tinashe Timsoro. There's Tawanda Nyamandwe, the former Dynamos player and ZPC Kariba player. We had those people who said, okay, guys, we understand your vision is a plant. We understand that you want to empower the youth. You want to change communities and develop communities. We all live that time to Europe. Just tell us what to do. Just give us the direction. And they were there for, they availed themselves, you understand? So luckily the privilege to hear those people being on the ground, assessing the situation. So for instance, you realize I'll get some DMs from people requesting for assistance. But I'm in South Africa, I can't verify if it's actually a genuine one. Because you come across chances as old people who just want to benefit, yet they're not vulnerable, you see? So we had to involve those people on the ground that will go around identifying families on the ground. Those people, they will assess the situation on the ground and they come up with recommendations. And once we had those recommendations, we started acting and coming up with the exact numbers of the food parcels that we wanted to distribute.
You touched on the fact that this program itself for now is self-funded through the Flood Movement. I'm sure if you're talking longevity at some stage and point, you're going to need partners and you're going to need people to help you and so forth. So how can people help you for it to be an initiative that can run in the long term? And of course, besides that, for those that are still looking for the help, that are in need of these food packs and so forth, can they get a hold of you guys?
This is much cool savings, Mike. This is actually I'm saying in development savings, this is actually an initiative that needs every Zimbabwean to be hands on. Because I always believe in the values of Ubuntu. Understand? I also believe, we are blessed to bless others. That's why, we actually set up this initiative to start with, so that we can actually be an example to other Zimbabweans. Okay, tinanjinga ma Zimbabweans, if we can do it, if we can start the initiative, why not join in? Why not chip in with us? Hence, we've come up with a program that we call Adopt a Family, whereby we're encouraging Zimbabweans in diaspora to come on board, to chip in their help. Adopt a family. Imagine if we can have about 10,000 Zimbabweans adopting a family. It means 10,000 families are being fed. And 10,000 families, it makes a very, very huge difference, Mike, at the present moment.
All right, yes. So,
we have hundreds of people, but one of them. Spalling as a Harare. Spalling as a Harare, Lapis is a Konabantu from Wokwazana. We even went as far as Wumdoko. Nabumarundera. Njengoba ngisho eqaleni ukuthi abantu esibasizayo sibathola ebulenjini ku social media. So that's why ubona ukuthi abantu esibasizayo they are scattered because we're getting them endaweni ezishiyeneyo. Okwamanje even kobulawayo sinogogo one feeding scheme yakhe kobulawayo. We got that contract through a young man called Tawanda Mcheyiwa. And he brought the issue of Gogo. Uthu Gogo unabantwana abaphekela abayenzela ama food ama abaphekela ukudla ukuthi besidla ama feeding scheme. So I sent out my representative from Bulawayo, the volunteers from Bulawayo, bahamba ku Gogo waya assessa sabuncha no for sure uGogo ufuna ukuthi asizwe ngokudla. Sabisa kuza kona kuti sibe sisiza. I think ugogo une feeding scheme yakhe nabantwana ba about 30 to 40 people. Yes.
So sikhuluma nje elizweni liphansi kohlelo lwe lockdown. Ukubhoda bhoda vela kuvunyelwe sike ube wangichazisela ukuthi ukudla lokhu okunye liyakuthatha from eSouth Africa buhamba eZimbabwe, okunye liyakudinga phela elizweni. Uhlelo lo-lockdown seluphazamise na indlela lisebenza ngayo?
Kunzima, kunzima Mike phandle ngale. Uzobona ukuthi njengoba ngike ngatsho ukuthi abantu abasisizayo ukudistributha ukudla kwethu ama-volunteers. So yabona njengama-volunteers abanye abanayo i-access yokuthi bathole ama-permit awuhambisa. So you find out manje sinabantu ababili nje abanama-permit ukuthi babe behamba bedistributha ukudla ebantwini. So okwamanje nathi sike saba affected, especially when it comes to movement yabantu. So but sibe sithi lapho esikhona khona ukuthi siyakhona ukuhamba maye ukuthi akula mapolisa abahlupha abantu erodini or anything yenzakalayo, then zodeploya abantu bahambe bayodistributha ukudla ebantwini.
Siyiqhuba ingxoxo yethu, awutshele phela uZulu ukuthi wonke umuntu ofisa ukuthola ulwazi oluthile mayelana ngalolu hlelo, mayelana nokuhlala nemiso yenu i-The Clark Movement, kumele ayebo.
Mawufuna ukuthola information about the Black Movement, you can come to Twitter, iyendu yethu ithi The Square Plug. Mawu Facebook, The Square Plug again. If you're on Instagram, is The Square Plug. Or you can visit our website on www.theblackmovement.org.
All right, Umnumzana Simon Magama, Standubungu. Simon, thank you so much for the good work that you're doing. So for those that are looking to reach out to Simon, you can reach out to him on Twitter at Chairman The Plug or the at The Square Plug. So, you know, Lutaba Mesilalo Namsha Gushel Umsagazo Moshe, Zimbabwe Omoshe. Now, sesingena ke kundaba ezombusazwe, let's now reach to the second half of the program where I highlight that we're going to be tackling another thing. Now, for those that do not know, tomorrow it is International Youth Day. Now, the theme of the 2020 commemorations highlights youth empowerment in politics, youth empowerment in public office. Now, I decided with all that in mind, let me reach out to Zimbabwean youth and hear from them themselves. What's going on? As I mentioned earlier on, over the past couple of weeks in Zimbabwe, we've seen a lot of youth active in terms of voicing their concerns with regards to the current climate of Zimbabwe when we're talking about politics and the state of the Zimbabwean economy. Youth have voiced their concerns in terms of saying they're not happy with the current state of how there's unemployment in the country, high inflation, high corruption rates, and so forth. Now, this has led to some youth taking to the streets in different parts of the world in order for the whole world to understand what exactly is happening. And it's also what led to the hashtag Zimbabwean Lives Matter. So I decided, you know what, let me reach out to some of these youth. Let's hear what exactly do they want and what exactly can youth do in order to uplift Zimbabwe. I reached out to one of the youth that was protesting in South Africa, Nkululeko Mathe. Nkululeko was protesting in South Africa last week when a police shot at the protesters with rubber bullets in order to disperse them when they were protesting at the embassy. Let's head over to Nkululeko to hear his thoughts on everything that's happening and his thoughts on what Zimbabwe needs to do in order for youth to become empowered.
Thina njengentsha seZimbabwe, ngizakhuluma kakhulu, ngathi ngizagcwela kakhulu kwezepolitiki. Ungabhekisisa kakhulu uhulumende lo uyasincindezela, usincindezela ngezepolitiki, ikakhulu thina i-future yethu abontanga abatsha. Uyasebenzisa kakhulu into zelendi azisebenzise ngezepolitiki ukuthi manje ma ufuna ilendi, ufuna ama-projects, sokumele uqale ujoyine izano khona uzathola ilendi. Ngaphandle kwalokho ke i-future abontanga ayiphelele emoyeni. Sigcwele emagoli manje, sigcwele emazweni kuma-diaspora. Yilo ilizwe lokuze ubukhokheli buka Mnumzana Mnangagwa ohlala ethembisa amanga ngezithembiso zakhe ezingafezekiyo. Kudala ethi i-new dispensation and then namanje asikayiboni i-new dispensation. Amalungelo wethu ayaphulwa manje ngohulumende nalo ezanu ngapha esithi i-new dispensation, esithi uhulumende wakhe ukhululekile. So thina ngiyakhuthaza kakhulu ontanga manje ngesikhathi samanje ukuthi kaba phakame ontanga bonke baseZimbabwe emathebeleni kaba phakame ngesikhathi samanje sizilwele inkululeko yethu sezandleni zethu ifuture yethu sezandleni zethu ngaphandle kokuthi sizilwele thina ontanga angiboni ukuthi sizaba lekusasa elihle so ngiyakhuthaza kakhulu ontanga thina ukuthi sizamene ukuthi sizilwele kakhulu la kumalungelo siyabona ontanga bethu sibonile izolo umzukulu kaMzacangulu bamthumba i-government engalamahloni engayangekiyo phambi komhlaba ma beyathumba umntwana oyintombazana ona 23 years bathi i-future yabontanga iyaphelelanga which means lo hulumende kasibuswa ngukulu azila hulumende kahle kahle silezigebenga thina ezweni leZimbabwe.
All right, Nkululeko Mathe, a young Zimbabwean based in South Africa, belongs to Chagas Republic Party. He was also protesting in South Africa last week. And now Nkululeko, throughout this conversation, highlights how dissatisfied he is with President Emmerson Mnangagwa's government, how he feels as though the promises that keep coming up, the promise of employment, the promise of the end to corruption, he's not satisfied because he feels as though for the duration of his entire life, all he's heard is these promises, and they have become empty, and he's not happy. Now, another gentleman, before we head over to the next clip that we're about to play, Nkululeko highlights one thing, and he says it's important for Zimbabwean youth to highlight how dissatisfied they are, and he feels as though Zimbabwean youth need to exercise their right to protest. One of the interviews that we're going to play for you before we wrap up this conversation is going to be of another young member who's against that. But let's head over to the next clip that we're about to play. Now, over the weekend, the EFF, the Economic Freedom Fighters in South Africa, had a festival, a gathering, whereby they were commemorating National Women's Day in South Africa. But now, during this commemoration, the president of the EFF, Mr. Julius Malema himself, touched on something that pertains to Zimbabwean youth, where he basically says what Nkululeko just said in terms of saying that Zimbabwean youth need to exercise their democratic right to protest and highlight how dissatisfied they are with the current administration. Let's head over to the clip that we have. The above clip we're about to play is courtesy of EFF and is available on their Facebook page.
We need Zimbabwe back. We need Zimbabwe back into the hands of the women of Zimbabwe and the children of Zimbabwe. Zimbabweans are not cowards. Zimbabweans have fought before. Why is the youth of Zimbabwe fighting through hashtag? Why is the youth of Zimbabwe fighting from South Africa and London? Why are they not occupying the borders of Zimbabwe there in Musina who will support them and say no car goes into Zimbabwe, no car comes out of Zimbabwe until the rights of our people are restored in Zimbabwe? Why is the youth of Zimbabwe not rising in Zimbabwe and face death because they are already dead? To live with a mother who can be raped at any time by the state with no consequences. To live with a sister who can be raped at any time with no consequences. Our own comrades should stop the hashtag revolution and engage in the real revolution.
That was the president of the EFF, Mr. Julius Malema himself. He's saying Zimbabwean youth protest. He says he's against the hashtag movement. He, as much as he's proud, because it's highlighted and educated to the world, he says it's not enough. You need to exercise your democratic rights to protest. Let's head over to other youth to hear whether or not they agree with Mr. Malema. I reached out to Farai Movuti. He's a ZANU-PF youth member, UK, and he's also the co-founder of Southern Times. It is a newspaper outlet that educates people on what's happening in Southern Africa. So let's head over to Mr. Farai Movuti to hear his take on Mr. Malema's sentiments, his take on what youth are saying, such as Nkululeko, who feel frustrated, and his take on what the way forward is. Let's head over to Farai.
Well, I think it becomes positive depending on how it's coordinated and organized and what the ambition is. If the ambition is to coordinate it and organize it, to then lobby systems and governments by using the very pre-existing infrastructure that enables you as a citizen to raise these concerns, be it through a political party, through parliament, or be it through an activist organization, be it through civil rights organizations, through a report that is recommendative to government issues, I think that might move the country forward. What I'm concerned about is the tone that the EFF presents. And the problem that we then have when your struggle is outsourced,
mm-hmm.
the problem we then have is that those who are now the arbiters of that same program, when they speak on it, they may speak without the cultural context of what the issues are that create a better depth in building bridges between, you know, the systems that you want to go against. And when that there's a breakdown of that communication, it becomes an abrasive narrative. It becomes us versus them. I think the progress of the movement should be based on dialogue and getting people together, not us versus them.
It seems as though there's become, for lack of a better word, I'll say there's a clash. One part that's highlighting that they're not understanding and they're emotional about their experiences, and they're emotional about the turnaround and not receiving the results that they were promised or the results that they want. And there's another side that's saying they're trying by all means to ensure that they can satisfy, but they're being met by other challenges. So what needs to be done for Zimbabwean youth to understand what's going on, for Zimbabwean youth to be empowered based on what's going on? I've spoken to ZANU-PF youth, and they talk about the empowerment bank, they talk about the land reform program, and so forth, saying government, this is where government's way of showing. They even said during COVID, government dispersed some money to help youths. But Zimbabwean youth, the Zimbabwean youth we've spoken to feel as though that's not enough.
Yeah.
Feel as though they want the jobs they were promised. Feel as though I shouldn't have to rely on 17 million bond for me to feel as though government is doing something. Let me get a job. Let me do something. 30, 35 years of my life, let me be able to have something that shows that this is why I'm here as a young Zimbabwean. So what needs to happen for that dialogue to begin?
Yeah. Now, I cannot pretend to have all the answers. We can only only speculate and have recommendative discussions on what we think to be the best thing, basing it on be it historical experiences of other countries and so forth. I think in Zimbabwe, what would need to happen as a starting point is firstly, I think the youth have to equip themselves with knowledge of how the actual system works. Okay? If it's a question of hearing, getting your voice heard, I think a good example of that would be Rwanda, where you find that a huge chunk of the bureaucracy infrastructure within the country is predominantly youth-led. Okay? Because there was an intergenerational linkage between the government and the youth itself. So we have to begin to get organized and coordinate ourselves and make, from a policy perspective, where is our engagement? So be it youth who want to go into politics, you know, political power should not always mean, of course, going all the way to the top. You know, at local government level, let us be a part of our communities there. How do we help build the very home? What can I change from the place I surround myself in, where I live? What's not there?
Mm-hmm. Okay, asikhingeni Dabalolo ngolimi luka mama kuphela bese sicela ingqeqesho ukufara. Sikhangela lokho okwenzakalayo elizweni, intsha elizweni iyasho ngempela ukuthi ikhathazekile ngalokho okwenzakalayo. Eningi labo bayakhala ngodubo lokuswelakala kwemisebenzi, isimo somnotho silokhu siqhubekela phambili sigugudeka. Udaba lwenkohlakalo lubhahile elizweni. Kuyini okumele kwenzekale ukuze intsha izithole ilakho ikuthuthukiswa, ngoba bayakhala ngempela. That's why abanye sebesithi ayi sesifuna ukutshengisela ukuze uhulumende azwisise izikhalazo zabo. Kuyini okumele kwenzekale?
I think kumele kube le a joint approach ekhangela ama material conditions ase Zimbabwe. So firstly, the good starting point would be for youth and government to have a conversation about how they can get involved in economic inclusivity. And earlier when Sicho Uguti, a good starting point for the youth is Uguti Vezwisise Ama local systems abo, Uguti Asebenza Njani, Ama political processing systems abo, I bureaucracy yabo, Uguzwisise I constitution yabo. At a starting point, because when you want to fight something or go against something, systems ankhona osebenza lawo, you never know ukuthi ulama benefits akhona through ama structures are pre-existing. Ungawa exploiter usebenze through hiko akhona. That's why we wrote a constitution in 2013.
So abantu sebesithi ngono baphume ngobuningi babo betshengisela ukuze uhulumende azwisise izikhalazo zabo. Ubona ngani lokho kungasiza na, ngoba abanye bayasho ngempela ukuthi uhulumende akasazwisisi izikhalazo zabo. Abanye bayasho ngempela ukuthi 30-35 years umuntu elokhu eqhubukela phambili ekhalala esithi angilamsebenzi. Kodwa uhulumende ulakho uyamthembisa ngempela ukuthi hayi imisebenzi yabuya kodwa namhla akulalutho. Ubona ngani ukutshengisela kuyasiza na?
Ukutshengisela ngesikhathi se-COVID akusoze kukuncede. Because ngathi lawo ndoda uyabona ama-cases soaring in the country. Wena sucabanga ukuthi mina uthi mphuni. No, we have to be serious. Uyabona nxa indaba zethu zizathatheka very seriously. Lathi simele sicabange lathi ukuthi nxa umuntu, you know, people are dying. You know, we've lost over, you know, the worldwide, we've lost over a million people on the basis of this disease. It's a serious thing. It's a serious pandemic. So we have to factor that in. In as much as there are concerns, but the concerns should never override public health.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, public health is a serious thing. Because when ungahamba phandle, angithi, uzachuma sa. When you come back, having contracted that disease, what good would you, of course, have done for the rest of your family if you are to all contract the disease? And considering that the health systems in the country are facing challenges, what support would you be able to provide to your family at that point?
So protests should happen.
I think protests should happen, but because you have a right to protest, it's a protest, but it's a preserve in the Constitution. But remember, it's a preserve amongst other preserves.
Mm-hmm.
And it does not supersede other preserves. That's one. Two, I think our issues can be raised, but during this period, we should also try to engage with the systems. I'm not saying that government has it all together. I don't think any government has it all together. It would be disingenuous to say that. But I think we have to find a starting point by getting organized, knowing what our internal politics is at a local level. You know, I criticize a lot of Evans Mawarire, but I respected the fact that he put his hat in the box when he arranged for IPOVO, they called it, right?
Council.
Yeah. And they ran for the local council because they felt that they wanted to aid their local council. They saw the dilapidating conditions that they were existing in and wanted to be a part of that conversation. That's how you get engaged. We have to be a part of the conversation. We have to be part of the political processes, the local political processes, and the national political processes.
What advice would you give a young Zimbabwean who's paying attention right now, who feels as though they've been in the country for a very long time, they've finished their study, attained the degree, and opportunities are not coming as per the, I guess, the normal, story that you're told, go to school, get a degree, find a job, and so forth. That's just not happening for them. What words would you have for them?
You know, we're living in a dynamic world that is changing constantly. Zimbabwe just this year has faced Cyclone Idai. We also faced a drought. We currently are under COVID-19. This is a young economy. A young country at that. But in the history of countries, in terms of growth and evolution, it takes a generation that wants to not only think according to the gnomes, as it were, the way you now have the HPs, the Microsofts, and so forth. These companies were built during economic downturns. You had Kudamsa Siwa, who's one of the young, brilliant minds in our country. All he had was a phone and a Twitter account.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, he made a company. Leverage. Yeah. His network. All I'm saying is that the young guy that's there, let's try and be a part of the solution to our country's situation. Of course, protests are all well and good, but being a part of the solution is equally more well and good.
All right, Muriya Zimbabwe, that was the co-founder of the Southern African Times, an online media news company. Farai Mufuti, thank you so much, Farai, for taking time out to join us, Panu Pachongwa Chibichibichibiki, to join us here on The Connection. We have come to an end of our program today. Just an update to remind you all, as we speak, Muriya Zimbabwe, 4,748 COVID cases in Zimbabwe, 104 people died. Muriya Zimbabwe, we have come to an end of our program. Let's meet same time, same place, Panu Pachongwa Chibichibichibiki, here on The Connection, Studio 7, Voice of America. I go by the name of Mike Gove, Muriya Zimbabwe. Bye-bye!